Let's talk some dogs with our man Seth Emerson from The Athletic. He does a terrific job of covering the dogs and has for a very long time. Seth, it's game week. We are finally here after a long summer, as always, of talking about the possibilities of what may take place. Tell me what you're thinking as we head into this game on Saturday with Clemson in regards to the dogs' defense. I mean, we've talked a lot this offseason about the D-line. Do you feel like this is where you're concerned if you're a dog fan? What are your concerns heading into this game against Clemson?
I think it's mostly on the defensive side. I have questions about whether the run defense will be improved. Now, it wasn't bad last year. It was just not as great as it was for Georgia from 2019 to 2022. That was the backbone of winning those championships, was the fact that other teams couldn't run on Georgia, and so they had to pass, and Georgia was able to get in a lot of third downs. And you know that you're forcing teams into a lot of third downs, you can pin your ears back and do a lot of different stuff in pass coverage. But then you're also wondering about the secondary. Malachi Starks, who I wrote about today, is he might be one of the best players in the country, but he's just one guy. They're working in some younger, inexperienced guys. The top cornerback is a guy who started half of last year and kind of had a rough year, but a lot of that was because people were throwing to his side a lot because Kamari Lassiter was on the other side. But there's just a lot of questions on the defense. I think overall it'll still be fine, but you're starting without really much margin for error because you're starting against Clemson, not against Tennessee Tech or Kent State or anybody like that. So, you know, now Clemson, has questions of its own, obviously, on offense. Quarterback, they've got some good young talent at receiver, but it's young. It probably in that way makes for a good matchup for Georgia. But, of course, you don't know for sure because there's no preseason games. It's college football. You're just kind of – I always say, like, the opener is always like a little bit like Christmas morning for fans because you're finding out about your team, like, right away. You haven't seen them, and then here they are.
To that end, not seeing the offense yet in its current form compared to what it was last year. I mean, look, Brock Bowers was a mismatch that no team in the country could contend with. He's obviously gone. Ladd McConkey gone. Is it fair to have questions at this point, or we just assume that Georgia locks and reloads as they've done for years, and they're just going to be flat out better than everybody on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, running back is a question this year. You know, they're not going to have, I don't think, Trevor Etienne for the opener, but they are going to have Branson Robinson, who started or looked like he was about to have a big role last year before he got the injury, but he's is barely a year removed from that injury, so he hasn't played a real football game in a year and a half, and then it's young guys and the walk-on Cash Jones, but yeah, they can overcome it with what they have at quarterback and receiver and even tight end without Brock Bowers. They've got they don't have Brock Bowers, but in Oscar Delp, Lawson Lucky, and Ben Juracek, they have three tight ends I really like. And they don't have Ladd McConkey at receiver or Marcus Roseme Jackson or Ra-Ra Thomas, but they do have Dominic Lovett and Dylan Bell and Arian Smith and some guys they like, the new guys, London Humphreys and Colby Young. So there's a lot of what's going to be interesting about Georgia's passing game this year is you don't have that number one threat right off the bat, but you've got a lot of guys. So they're not worried about depth. They're not worried about having starter level SEC receivers and tight ends. The question is, would they miss having that guy that they had the last few years?
Seth, I know you wrote about this, and I'm curious because a lot of people may or may not be aware of this, but the SEC is going to implement an injury report or an availability report by next week with teams facing fines if they're fined or they are found to have violated. So what you're telling me, and I just need you to help me with this, we're going to see an injury report from Kirby Smart and the Dogs every week?
I don't know whether it's going to be just Saturday's game of or day of game the way it has been for the last year in the Big Ten and will be. And the MAC is the only other conference that we know that's doing it. I don't know if they'll do some during the week, but the indications I got talking to people last couple of days is it's going to be more than that. But I don't know if it's going to be more than that in the sense of on game day, they're not going to say out or in, or whether they're going to say doubtful, out, probable, whatever. And I don't know if there's going to be anything during the week, but you know, as secretive as Kirby Smart and most coaches are about injuries, you know, what Kirby said last night is what I've heard for years from coaches at the college level, especially ones who have been at the NFL and didn't hate the injury report process. They all said just like, if we're all playing under the same rules, we're fine with it. But in college football, there hasn't been that rule, and it's still going to be up to each conference. So the reason you haven't heard about the SEC officially announcing an injury or availability report is because there's no SEC games this weekend. They're all playing other teams. So Clemson and Georgia, you know, you're going to find out at game time whether, you know, there's a surprise injury or something. And you still don't know. We've got to find out whether anything is going to happen during the week. The great thing with the NFL report is there's no like shocks on Sunday unless something literally happens on Sunday. In college, if you just do the Big Ten system where it's, I think it's 2 hours before kickoff, you still conceivably could cover up an injury all week,
right?
And then just announce it 2 hours beforehand. So I'll be curious how the SEC is handling it.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, listen, as a sports bettor, I kind of actually want this and enjoy it. Gives us a little more clarity, but also, we know our injury reports can be massaged. Even in the NFL, they do it. I mean, you know, and I guarantee you every SEC coach will push this to the limits and bend the rules as much as they can, whatever theoretical rules there are, to their own advantage, because that's what everybody does. They look for an advantage. So I don't really know that without some sort of hardline rules here, Seth, we're going to see any real movement on this.
Well, we got to see what the rule is. Got to see what the fines are. Like when
who's paying
Sarkisian
those fines?
Was asked. Yeah, well, when Sarkisian was asked about it in May, you know, he said, you know, he was asked, like, how do you keep coaches from gaming the system? And we didn't know what the system would be at that point. We still don't officially know. He said, you know, do what the NFL does. They fine us. And I know that, like, you know, you can say the NFL, it's not 100% accurate, but there aren't those game day, like, out of nowhere shocks.
Sure.
Like, you know, they've the NFL has been dealing with the gambling thing for years. College football has kind of had its head in the sand for years. And it was only the Supreme Court decision in 2018 that kind of got them finally reacting to it. But it's still been 5 years. I think COVID may have interrupted that because there was momentum starting to build, but the fact we're still only at this point kind of gets back to the whole problem in college sports and that nobody is in charge. There's no central authority. There's been no commissioner of college football to say, hey guys, we are at risk of a huge gambling scandal. They're lucky one hasn't happened where, you know, something, because when you are keeping these secrets, the secret information, then there's so much chance for mischief by gamblers. And probably the only thing that has saved that from happening is the coverage that college football gets, in that even if, you know, Kirby Smart, for instance, just using example of where I am, like as secretive as he can be, there are so many entities covering college football that honestly, like as a beat guy, by the time we get to Saturday, there are no shocks. Like we've heard, like I've heard from sources or somebody else has, but at smaller schools, and that's why you have, that's why a lot of the funny business in college sports gambling has happened either like college baseball with the Alabama one, or like small sports that are kind of away from attention. But I think those kind of things have illuminated for college sports leaders, especially in the SEC. I think the Alabama baseball thing may have helped that. To say we're running a risk here if we don't get a handle on this.
Seth Emerson joining us, guys, from The Athletic. Are we underestimating this Clemson defense? If you're a dog fan, are they as good as we think they are going into week one?
They could be. You know, the front should be good. The rest of the defense, we'll see. We kind of just haven't heard much about Clemson in general. Maybe it's because they're not active in the transfer portal that people just kind of don't know who they have. They're building things the traditional way, but they've got some players. And they have the potential to make this game interesting on both sides of the ball for Georgia if they don't play well. If you're a Georgia fan, I think you take heart from the Oregon game 2 years ago, where same building, probably same level of opponent. Georgia went in there and smacked Oregon around. But that doesn't mean that Clemson isn't a team with a lot to play for and not much to lose going into this game.
All right. We go into the season. I'm thinking Carson Beck is the best quarterback to start the season. Do you feel the same way? We've heard all these different names, right? Quinn Ewers. Mark and I were talking about it. Jalen Milroe. He'll actually play against both of those teams in Alabama and Texas. Mm-hmm. Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders. Is Beck the best quarterback going into the start of the season?
Well, I think he certainly would be the guy I'd probably pick right now if I had to, guy to have the best season in terms of what he has around him. He's going to have we haven't talked about Georgia's O-line, but their O-line should be really, really good. He's got good receivers and tight ends. I think he should have a solid running game. He may not put up great stats, and that's something that has hurt Georgia quarterbacks over and anybody on offense the last few years because they're in so many blowouts that they don't play in the fourth quarter. But best quarterback in the country, I'm not going to get on a soapbox and just say he definitely is. I think he's on that level with those other guys that you mentioned, and probably some guys that we're not talking about that are going to come out of nowhere. But I think the way to put it is I don't think Georgia fans or coaches look at any other quarterback in the country and say, deep down, if you gave me truth serum, I'd trade my guy for that guy.
Yeah, it's fair. Seth, enjoy the game. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. We look forward to our visits with you through the course of the season. Seth Emerson, guys, follow him. He writes for The Athletic, talking about the Dogs, and he does a great job. Seth, have a great day.
All right, you too.